Well, this week we have two headlines to bring you, and because they both regard diabetes, we've asked Dr. Irene Sills, professor of pediatrics with a specialty in pediatric endocrinology, to take us behind the headlines this morning. Good morning, Dr. Sills.
Good morning.
So let me provide our listeners with some background on the first headline so they'll understand why I'm asking you the questions I'm about to ask, okay?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, Forbes, and others, the pharmaceutical company Pfizer has decided to pull Exubera from the market due to poor sales. Now, Exubera is an inhaled form of insulin, which was used as a substitute for injected insulin used by many people with diabetes. The drug was pulled from the market because of poor sales. To many people, when weighing insulin delivered through injections versus insulin delivered by inhaling, it seems there must be more behind this headline because the one seems so much easier than the other. So, Dr. Sills, what do you make of this?
Well, I think that many people found the device that they needed to use to be fairly large and unwieldy. I, as a pediatric endocrinologist, can say that I'm not a big fan of using inhaled insulin.
Why not?
For me, in kids, it hasn't been proved safe yet. You're inhaling a growth-promoting drug into your lungs every day, and I don't know whether it will ultimately prove to be safe. It's been approved for use in adults, not okay. In children. It doesn't eliminate the need for injections totally. Most people still need to take an injection of a long-lasting insulin as a background insulin. And it still does not eliminate the need to check your blood sugar multiple times a day, count your carbohydrates. I'm also concerned that the dosing is not small enough for children, which is another reason maybe why it hasn't been approved for use. We do have patients at the Joslin who have been using it. They have to have lung function tests done periodically,
mm-hmm.
So that's another burden, another obstacle to its use. So it's been interesting to watch it evolve, but I'm not surprised that there have been these hurdles both in patient acceptance and perhaps even in effectiveness.
Well, you know, overall, it seems like injecting an insulin would be so much simpler than doing the injections themselves. But if I understand you correctly, this doesn't take the place of injections. It just...
Well, it decreases the number of injections you might need to take in a day.
All right.
So that part is nice, but I can say that the insulin injection is a tiny volume of fluid in a tiny needle, and it's not great, but it's not the torture that some people think it could be.
I see. But what about the finger pricks? If I understand you correctly, this doesn't change that at all. And people I know with diabetes, that's the part they object to.
Oh, I agree with you. The insulin injection is over quite quickly, but the burden of checking your blood sugar every 2 to 3 hours during the day, that interrupts your schedule, and that has not been changed at all by inhaled insulin.
I see. Well, then, you know, that seems to explain exactly why we're reading this headline. Let's go on to our second headline. This is about children and diabetes. Reuters reported this week on a small clinical trial that tested the use of type 1 diabetes glucose continuous monitoring device for children. It's called the Freestyle Navigator. It has a sensor which penetrates the skin a few millimeters. It measures blood sugar every 60 seconds and has an alarm that goes off if the blood sugar is too low or too high. The trial was small. There were only 30 children ages 4 to 17 who participated, but in almost every case, the researchers saw immediate improvements in blood sugar control, and the improvements were sustained for the duration of the 13-week study. At the end of the study, most of the children elected to continue wearing the device. So, Dr. Sills, it seems like it must be really difficult to measure glucose levels in children with diabetes. Do you see this as a positive step?
I think this is exciting technology. Uh-huh. I think that we're on the threshold of great things.
Okay, is this the great thing?
This is the start. This is really not where we want it to be.
Okay.
What these machines do is they tell you what your blood sugars are trending towards, trending up or trending down.
Okay.
But you can't make a decision either to give insulin or to correct a low blood sugar unless you check your blood sugar with your standard glucose meter.
I see. So the children are wearing this monitor and it kind of gives you an idea of where it's going, but you still have to prick their finger and test their blood?
Exactly. It still is not accurate enough to be able to make medical decisions based upon it. But it's the start.
It's the start. Well, if it's the start, what do you see is turning into?
Well, what we hope is that these machines ultimately will be accurate enough, and then we'll be able to talk to a pump that is giving insulin subcutaneously.
Which means?
So that if your blood sugar goes up, the message will go to the pump to give a little bit more insulin, which will eliminate the need for all these frequent blood sugar testing and decisions about how much insulin to give. Working out these algorithms is very difficult. I attended a meeting where I heard presentation about these algorithms, mm-hmm. but they're very, it's going to be a while and until we actually have the accuracy that we need and the ability to get the correct algorithms in place so that the pump knows how much insulin to give based upon the sugar. This is not blood sugar. This is sugar that is measured in the fluid under the skin and then converted to a number equivalent to blood sugar.
I see. So it really is very rudimentary. Now, this is for children with type 1 diabetes. Am I correct?
Right now, it's for children and adults with type 1 diabetes, but it could be used for adults with type 2 diabetes if they felt that they needed to know their blood sugars as exactly
on a very regular basis.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hear more and more about children developing type 2 diabetes. Do you mm-hmm. see this as something that's going to help understand those trends as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. This will be information that will help us immensely with this population. But I will say that the majority of the focus is still for kids with type 1, which is still in this region the majority of kids with diabetes.
It is. Very good. Well, Dr. Irene Sills, thank you so much for helping us understand both these headlines this morning.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. 4 steps to more fun in our lives, or joy with the world. My dad was born on a hard scrabble farm in Ireland, a generation or two after the Great Potato Famine killed about a third of the Irish people. He came to the U.S. so he'd never again think about having enough food, worked for the New York City Subways 35 years, passed along the job of becoming doctor, lawyer, accountant to me. Psychologist isn't exactly stethoscope and scalpel, but close enough. Anyway, I was nose in the books as a kid, then in college, 5 years of grad school. I've been balancing the scales, learning to play better ever since. Made some discoveries I want to pass along to my fellow all work and no players out there. An early Christmas present for us worker bees. First, so nobody can say we're slacking off, my scientific 4-factor formula that works for me. Choose the fork in the road to fun. Do something you want to do to make it happen. Respond when others join in, because they're gonna. It's infectious. And share the fun. An example from last week. I love to run. The other day at lunch, instead of gluing my butt to the chair, shoving my sandwich in, answering 20 more of the infinity of emails, I pick the fork to fun, pop on my running duds, head out. I'm smiling, checking out the trees, clouds, sun. Blazing across the SU quad, I come up on 5 guys on some benches. As I'm flaming by, the guy nearest to me jumps up, raising his arms. Then the next guy and the next. They're giving me the wave, like a stadium of football fans. I'm thrilled, laughing, pointing at them, looking each one in the eye. They're beaming, bouncing hysterically, and for that one moment, a 54-year-old potato head once removed and a bunch of college guys are just playing, sharing the magical joke of living. So, dear departed dad and everybody, I'm Rich O'Neill, PhD, fellow of the Academy of Clinical Psychology, associate professor at Upstate, past president of the New York State Psychological, author of over 30 scientific and professional publications, former filmmaker and winner of a Student Academy Award, saying, let's get serious and put our formula for fun to work and play. We'll be glad you did. We'll be glad we did. Thanks for listening.